In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Luke 16:13. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. In 3 years' time, when the Sunday Gospel readings are again from Luke and a request for availability comes round, I shall be checking ahead and selecting my holiday judiciously. Though I consulted several commentaries, there does not seem to be a consensus interpretation of today's Gospel. One theory, which did appeal to me, was that the scholars in the early church found it as baffling as do the contemporary. The reading, it was suggested, would originally have ended at verse 8a, which extols the wisdom of the children of this age over that of the children of light. And the remaining verses are an interpretation. But how the content of verses 8b to 13 was derived from the parable, I can only guess. Back to business. We are indebted to St. Paul for today's sermon, or rather to N.T. Wright's discourses on Pauline theology, found in his books, Paul and the Faithfulness of God, and The Climax of the Covenant. N.T. Wright is the academic persona of Tom Wright, and has written extensively on Pauline theology. His academic works are well balanced, though his churchmanship, which is low, can be deduced from his writing. His churchmanship aside, Wright on Pauline mysticism, specifically on Jesus the Christ, the Davidic Messiah, gives us an insight into what Luke, or something Luke's commentators, may have been getting at in verse 13. Wright believes that Israel was chosen for a divine purpose and argues that Jesus the Christ was and is the Davidic Messiah. For him it follows, through the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, Christ the Ascended One, Christ the Son, the second person of the Trinity, is the leader of the new Israel, the people of God. The new Israel, by baptism, are incorporated into the body of Christ and become his earthly kingdom, and hence members of the household of God, of which Christ is the head. No slave can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. We now look at some ideas from Luke, which have been rather lost in translation. The passage we have just heard is full of linguistic play and rich in household imagery. The manager, oikonomos, is a house manager, Joseph's position in Pharaoh's household, and a term used in early Christianity to refer to ministers. A new job title for the clergy, house managers of the household of God. Slave is oiketes, which my lexicon translates as house servant. Oikonomos and oiketes are related to oikos, the extended household of the first century, familiar from Acts and later, which came by extension to refer to the household churches of early Christianity, communities of people with Christ as their head. Kyrios, master, Lord, Christ. More linguistic play, enriching the household imagery. The oikos, the household of God, the household of the family of Christ in which we are all house servants, and Christ is the Lord, the head. And wealth. In older translations, this is left as mammon, which is a transliteration of Aramaic, which does mean wealth, but has the wider connotation of things that are of the world, not only wealth in terms of goods, but also of status sought for its own ends. No house servant can serve two lords. You cannot follow Christ to serve God if you worship something else. For those among Luke's audience who followed Mosaic law, the law of Moses, this would have been self-evident. Under Mosaic law, the best thing one could do with one's life was to willingly and joyfully serve the Lord God, to serve Yahweh, to put him at the center of one's time of being by living the Ten Commandments, in gratitude for all he had done for one, and by doing this, also showing respect for the Hebraic ontological trinity of God, the land, and the people. To keep the Ten Commandments, to keep the rules for living, which some think have come down to us, the new Israel, as the Beatitudes. And the worst thing one could do, Amos, in the Old Testament reading, sums it up. It is to regard possessions, social status, etc., as the be-all and end-all in life, as the things to worship, as the things rather than Yahweh to put at the center of one's life. And what happened to Israel when they ignored God's law, when they did not put Yahweh at the center of their lives? The house of David fell, in the north to Assyria, in the south to Babylon, and Israel was no more. These examples are, of course, extremes. Luke is not saying that worldly goods, that riches, that status are inherently bad or inherently evil, that it is not possible to be of the household of God if we have to work towards a regular income or promotion at work. It is not wrong, per se, to want the things of this world, to be ambitious. But, as Father Tony reminded us two Sundays ago, we are what we worship. What is wrong, Luke says, is if we worship money, status, the things of the world, if we make the wish for them the center of our lives, if we sell our souls to have them, if we become them as the wish for them consumes us, if we do this, then we are serving mammon. And it is not possible, as Israel found, to have both Yahweh and things other than Yahweh as a center. It is equally impossible for us. It is not possible for us to live a life which is entirely self-serving and at the same time live a life of discipleship. We cannot worship two gods, two lords, God and mammon. What we attempt to do is to keep the things of this world in their proper place, as gifts from a generous God, as we strive to put God, God who is love, and with whom through Christ we, the Christian household, have a relationship at the center of our lives, and to serve him to the best of our ability. Amen.